Dear old Thomas, many of you may know him as Doubting Thomas, which I think is very unfair. So I'll try and give him back some of his dignity that has been stolen over the decades. Thomas. The story of Thomas was added into John's Gospel. It's probably not an event that actually occurred. It seems to be a story that was inserted a bit later. The end of this particular verse that you've heard seems to be the end of the original part of John's Gospel. And then if you go on to the next chapter, you will see that Jesus starts off again. He's got the third time that he meets the disciples. And then we have another finish. So what John and his community, when writing the Gospel, have most probably done is that they have used the stories and the experiences that they had from those who were really with Jesus at the time, and then he has inserted them at a time when his own community could really benefit from hearing those words of encouragement or the example of Jesus. Remember that the people, the main audience here, did not know the historical Jesus. So you and I have that much in common. We never had the chance to meet him face to face, to hear him in the near distance, to see him even in the near distance. So a lot of John's community, because his gospel was probably written about 60 years after the event, they were the same, so that they had watched the destruction of the temple, as you often hear me say. The faith will really have been shaken. They will have seen the first lot of martyrs, people dying for belief in Jesus. They would have witnessed those come forward. They would have had, I would think, a natural amount of doubt in their life. So to that extent, you and I, we share a lot with the first Christians from John's community, because we all have doubts. And I suspect that what John has done is he's inserted the story of Thomas in there to give some encouragement to the people who would have a natural doubt. So it's not about chastising or correcting. It's actually about encouraging. And that will be the first of 3 points that I would like to make with regard to the gospel, particularly surrounding Thomas, is that when we doubt, which I think is a very natural thing for a human being, when we doubt, firstly, we don't need to feel alone. The things that we doubt are things that are beyond our understanding at present. And I think it's very natural that here we strive, all of us, to believe in a God that we have not seen. Some of John's people saw Jesus, probably not many, and they could say that they've seen the image of God in Jesus Christ. We can't say that because, historically we're so far removed. So the doubt that we have, I think, is very real. What it does do for us in that reality is it says, okay, well, how do I get beyond that? Otherwise I get stuck, don't I? I tend to think, there's no way out of this. Well, that leads to despair. And the opposite of despair is, of course, is faith and hope. And it is only through faith that we get beyond our doubt. And he finishes up the gospel thereby saying that believing you may have life through his name. So we are very much following in the words that John has inserted here. And I think that they're the words of encouragement for his community and for ours. You believe because you can see me, he says to the assembled crowd in the upper room. Well, happy are those who have not seen and yet believe. I think that that is the core line in this gospel at that time. We who have not seen, we still believe, and that is our faith. It allows us to do that. So we have to carefully nurture and look after our faith, not let it get bruised and damaged. So Thomas represents a little bit of each and every one of us, I think. Now, Thomas, I have said this here before a couple of years ago, Thomas didn't doubt in the issue of faith. He didn't doubt Jesus, he believed. He said, my Lord and my God. He is the only apostle in all of the Gospels to address Jesus as my God. He's the only one, is Thomas. The others see Jesus as Lord, certainly, but not as God. Well, if they did, they never professed it. And my Lord and my God is the great profession that has become, in one sense, the backbone of many of us who do live with doubt. Lord, I believe, said Augustine, help my unbelief, because I do believe you are my Lord and my God. So Thomas becomes a figure of inspiration, I think, for us. And when you doubt, use those words, my Lord and my God. Perhaps help my unbelief or help my doubt. So Thomas didn't doubt Jesus. He doubted what the apostles had said. Keep that in mind. It wasn't his belief that he was wavering. He did not believe what the apostles, the others in the upper room, had said. They told him that this had happened, and he said, unless I see and put my hand in, I won't believe. So it wasn't Jesus, it was actually the others that he doubted. Then we move on to my second point, which is, even though it's a week later, if you look at the chronology in here, the time frame of this particular gospel, you'll see that things don't match up. That's why we know that John has inserted this story in here to encourage his own community who were probably doubting a lot at that time. So the other apostles did not turf Thomas out. They did not reject him. They didn't lock the door. He was with them. So if you keep that in mind, this community who struggled in the early days, even though they had members who were unsure, they did not discard them. They brought them in and kept them together. And the way they did that was actually in the first reading from the Acts of the Apostles. You can go over that, how they cared for each other. And what we have in the upper room at this time is the other apostles nurturing Thomas, in a sense. And there's a clue there for us to help us in strengthening our faith. Perhaps the way to do that is by exercising what Jesus did in his life, by us doing the same thing with those in our life, particularly those who may have been already discarded, ostracised, made unwelcome. I think that's a very important point in this story. And the third part that I would relate to you is that John very specifically says 7 days later, and on the eighth day, it's the seventh day, so the eighth day is always creation. This is a creation story about the church. So it's got history in it. We call John's gospel the sacramental gospel. And to get that clearly in our head, to understand the word sacrament, the simplest way of understanding it is a sacrament points to something and it makes it happen. It makes it real. So it indicates something and makes it real. John's gospel indicates our salvation and the glory of God, and it makes it unfold and become real for us. So here, as a sacramental gospel and a creation story, the eighth day, the day of creation, we have what's being created. The church is being created. The imperfect church is being created and is still being created. The church and its creation is not finished. It's not a point in time when the barcode said, been there, done that. That is not the church. The church is still being created. And therefore, like Thomas, in that creation there are growing pains. And some of you may have experienced that. All of us have at some stage, I'm sure. We have experienced those growing pains. And so we are constantly in need of conversion. Constantly. And that's probably why Jesus comes in and he says to the leaders of this young church, whoever's sins you forgive, they are forgiven. Because these people that you're going to be with, they need constant conversion and constant healing, because the church is growing. And you are the ones that are going to nurture and water and feed it. Even with your doubts, even with your flaws and your weaknesses. Remember, who stayed with Jesus at the ultimate hour? Only Peter came back after he denied him three times. So they were flawed men. They had their weaknesses and they let those weaknesses be seen. That doesn't mean that the church today is much different in one sense. Our weaknesses are always on show. And I'm not saying that we need to be proud of them. We need to acknowledge our weaknesses as members of the body of Christ and constantly, like this gospel and the readings say, constantly come back to Jesus so that we can experience the healing and the forgiveness. And when we experience healing and we experience forgiveness, we are doing what Jesus asked us to do. When we do not exercise healing and forgiveness, we stop believing in Jesus in one sense. We put things on pause. We cannot do that. We are people in motion. We are people of faith in motion. We are people in faith in motion on the way to our salvation.